5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Overtime.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second ever episode of Overtime. I'm your host, Jacob Hujic, and with me today is Brandon Williams.
Hey.
And Taylor Severn.
Hello.
How are you guys? It's the first real week of Overwatch being out. What are you guys thinking of it so far?
I played it quite a bit.
I'm a fan.
I would have to agree. I'm loving it. There's some salt happening after tough matches, but I'm starting to get over it.
Well, you can't end on a loss. You have to end on a 5-game winning streak.
Apparently that's what you guys did after I left yesterday, so...
We did.
You guys were having a lot of fun after I left. I was totally not jealous at all.
Yeah, it was great.
Clearly,
I missed that.
Clearly my high...
Wasn't you bringing down the team or anything? We just got really good.
No, well, I'll tell you exactly what happened. It's my super stupidly high MMR is bringing in people of better skill than you guys, and that's why...
I don't feel like that was the case.
Probably not. No, I'm dragging the team down. But god damn it, I want to play Winston.
I'm the greatest Winston player. Brandon and Scott can agree.
You were
actually
really good at Winston.
You were pretty damn good.
Not gonna lie. And Brandon, you were kicking some ass on Genji that one game. But we'll get into that.
Yeah, there's that one map that I can just get around so easy and rip people apart with Genji.
Which will be topical because today our kind of topics will be the big free agents or Agents Rising esports tournament, as well as the meta that kind of developed from that tournament. And then we'll be going on to talk about Genji, his story, his gameplay, strategies, counterplay, is all kind of what we're going to be doing for today. So why don't we get right into it and start with the esports tournament that happened. Now, have you guys watched any esports for Overwatch?
No.
No. Not as of yet.
Have you watched esports for other shooters?
No.
Absolutely.
Brandon, you have experience with Halo and Counter-Strike, correct?
Yeah, but I've never really played Counter-Strike, but I've watched like a Counter-Strike match here and there.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good play, but
yeah, it's exciting.
I've played Halo and like I watched Halo plus like the Pro Series coming out now, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I know Halo has a big scene and has
Halo
for quite
has
a while.
Huge esports scene.
Yeah,
huge.
And Counter-Strike I think is widely regarded as having the best watchability of any shooter in esports. They have a lot of different.
I feel like their commentators are really good too.
Their commentators are really good, and their production, just how they relay information to the viewers, is very very good. And I think that's kind of a target that Overwatch, at least in my opinion, should kind of strive for. Right now, Overwatch's watchability is, I mean, for like a streamer, it's great because it's just like a single person, like you're there for them kind of thing. But for a tournament where you want to watch multiple people and kind of see who's killing what, how fast, and information like that, it's a little harder to see. And they don't have to convey that. Yet.
I would disagree that it's good for streaming. It's not that great for streaming.
It's not great, but
no,
it's
not.
Compared to its watchability as an esport, it needs some improvement, but it's not bad. I actually did watch the tournament, and I had a lot of fun. It was a lot of camera switching, which was disorienting at first, but you kind of got used to it. And then they would usually go through with like a bird's eye view of the match. Rather infrequently, I kind of enjoyed it, just being able to see everyone on the map. But it wasn't bad, it just wasn't as good as it could have been. But I quite liked it. I'm curious to see how they're going to improve it. I don't know how much of Blizzard's weight is being thrown behind production and the esports scene quite yet. I don't think they're focusing on it quite right now. But in the future, I'm sure, because of how many people have gravitated towards this game, that it will have a big scene. And what they do with it at that point will be...
I think Blizzard's probably full force into the esports now. Like trying to develop some kind of tools to help organization of the esports. Like better cameras, just better information getting to the viewers during like big tournaments and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think they're working on it. It's just somewhere in the pipeline. I want it as soon as possible, don't get me wrong, but I don't know if it's quite their focus right now. I mean, there's still a couple of features missing from the game, namely competitive mode, I think is really...
Well, no, it's coming out in like a couple weeks or something like that.
I believe it's the target, June 16th, I believe. But I think
that's not really missing. It's just they're setting it up now, so like you get the practice in, and then once competitive starts, like you've got your team, you've got your strategies all down, and you're ready to go.
Yeah, your strategies like that friggin' four.
Like Halo did the same thing, like kind of like they had like a month where it was just like free play kind of thing, and after the first month. Like, you would still gain ranks and stuff like that, but after the first month is when they reset everything, and that was, like, the first, like, start.
True, yeah.
Like, true, yeah. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Sorry, I did want to quickly mention that four-soldier 76 plus two-healer comp that we faced. Wow, that was tough. We were not prepared. I know how we could have countered it now, but that was just... It was a shock.
I mean, how do you counter something like that?
Teamwork.
I feel teamwork, yes, but also I feel if we all went in as one character with two healers of our own, someone like Winston.
Jesus, we're not using their strategy against them.
But like that's
We needed a Reinhardt in the front and then someone to shoot damage dealers to shoot from the wall. They wouldn't be able to deal with that.
I think
really did need a Reinhardt.
I agree. Reinhardt would have been awesome. But getting back to the esports meta, there was not a lot of multi-hero comps. It was usually one of. Every now and then you'd see it. But the team settled kind of near the end of the tournament on what they refer to as the 2-2-2 strategy, which was two tanks, two healers, and two damage dealers. They didn't really deviate from that. The characters they picked for those slots did change from game to game, and especially from map to map. Certain player characters are better on certain maps. But what do you think of that kind of pro level strategy compared to what we've been seeing? Because we normally just go one tank, one healer, hopefully. Sometimes we forgo the tank, unfortunately, in our pub games. But the rest are just damage dealers, lots of snipers.
I think we've always had a tank. Normally, I'm playing Zarya, which is a pretty damn good tank in my opinion. Like, I like it because she's ranged and pretty powerful. Not to mention she's got the shields and she also kind of acts as a healer.
Zarya is like a support tank. I really, really enjoy Zarya. She, as a solo tank, it can be kind of difficult for her just because she doesn't have the body of the other tanks. I mean, she's very fit, but just from a health perspective, Reinhardt and all the tanks have more HP than her, and she has that damage mitigation ability, but
why she has a little like the lower HP.
Yeah, she really shines when she's the secondary tank, when she's supporting someone like Winston or Roadhog. I think her and Roadhog is probably the best combination, because
I think it's mostly that she just has a high skill cap.
She's very hard. She's very hard to play, but
I don't find her hard to play at all, actually.
You've mastered
that's,
the skill
that's
cap.
Probably my like FPS experience coming into play.
You are really, really, really good with her. I always appreciate it when you're playing her, but try playing her with another tank, which we have in a couple games, and it's just you become kind of dominant.
Well, the two tank meta is good.
That's the meta.
Yeah, I every time we've gone two tanks, even in my solo games, I've noticed that I have much higher win percentage. Same with two healers, not quite as high because you are kind of missing out on that damage. But being able to sustain that much with two healers, especially if you have someone like Lucio or Zenyatta who can kind of attack as well, it really helps you out. It's much better than just having an all attack squad, which kind of falls apart as soon as they take damage. So the competitive scene surprisingly might be onto something. Another thing I noticed during the competition, well, it was something that one of the casters had mentioned, was that Bastion's alt, and I know many new people to the game find Bastion quite annoying, and he is very annoying. But at the competitive level, people are thinking that his ult might be a little too strong. He becomes very, very mobile. He gets a lot of health back, and he can one-shot almost every character. Granted, it gets
not every character.
Not every character, but everyone who has like 200 health and under, he can pretty much one-shot, which is most of the characters. And it's very hard to deal with, and there's not a lot of counterplay to it. I mean, you can stun him, but other than that, he's just like this wrecking ball, which I mean is what an ult's supposed to be. But because it's not just a dragon that goes in a straight line, it's this thing that's actively coming after you.
And you have to have some kind of skill to use it too. Like, it's not easy being that Bastion ult.
I think it kind of is.
Well, not really. There's a lot of counters to it. Like, as soon as you get stunned, you lose your ult.
You stay
like,
in tank
if you
mode.
Get stunned, if you get poisoned, like anything like that, you're out of your ult.
No, I don't know about poison. I don't think I've ever been Widowmaker mined.
I can contest to that.
Really? Are you sure you didn't
just
do time out?
It was either just as my time was out, or it was just some bullshit.
Being stunned doesn't take you out of the ult. I know that. It wastes the timer on it, yes, but you're still in your ultimate.
I'd be curious to see what slight adjustments they might consider for it, but overall I think it does have its drawbacks in that, like, you usually do have to make yourself vulnerable, where,
yes.
Like, with the Dragon Arrow, you're not vulnerable, you're just like, it's going, you can't stop it, get out of the way!
Yes.
I would
tend to agree. And also, like, at least in the lower class of play, a Bastion ulting, yes, it's annoying when they... and the charge in as a tank, but then it also means that that turret that was killing you for like the last 5 minutes is no
gone.
Longer in position, so it's kind of great. Another thing I noticed from the esports tournament was that McCree and Pharah were kind of decided upon as the go-to damage dealers. Like, they were the main, I don't want to say the word playmaker, but like, they're the ones that were getting all the kills for the most part, and everyone was kind of supporting them. The tanks were blocking for them. A Genji would be off distracting or whoever, and one of the healers was usually on one of those characters. I don't find super surprising. McCree has a lot of versatility in his kit. Just like, he can duel anyone with his stun grenade, as well as his pistol just does absurd amounts of damage. I think it's one of the highest... I think it's the highest per shot damage in the game. And then he can fan the hammer on it.
Yeah, that fan hammer is deadly. Like, I'd have to agree with that. He's got to be one of the most overpowered... Not overpowered. He's got to be one of the most strongest offensive characters.
Yeah, just in pure damage numbers, I'd have to agree. And then Pharah would probably be a close second just because of her missile. It does a huge amount of damage. And doesn't even have to score a direct hit to deal that damage.
Yeah.
And then also her mobility is quite powerful. Being the only sustained flight character. Well, the longest sustained flight character. But yeah, that's
I don't
kind
know,
of how
Mercy's up there.
That's kind of how the tournament broke down. I was desperately trying to watch the end of it, but I fell asleep, so I didn't actually catch who won. I think it was Team Liquid. I don't want to say if I don't know for sure, but it was exciting. I quite enjoyed myself. Well, are you guys excited to watch any esports, or is it not really your thing for Overwatch, at least?
Well, I definitely want to watch it. I didn't know there was a tournament, actually, this past weekend or this week.
Yeah, it was on Sunday and Saturday that I was watching it.
So that was the, like, is that the first in a series, or?
There was one which was called Agents Rising, which was kind of getting some of the disparate teams together, as well as another one called, from Take TV, they were branding it as Take Over for their Overwatch content. And they had a small stream going as well for a tournament. With some pretty high-level teams, like there was Team Liquid, as I said, some other bigger names in the shooter space that I'm not quite as familiar with. Yeah, I hope it. I hope it gets going and grows, and I'm ready to watch more of it. Taylor, are you interested at all?
No, I don't care about esports. Period.
Fair enough. So with that, there is much more news. I mean, there was the fact that competitive mode is going to be reintroduced at some point.
Reintroduced? You mean introduced?
It was in the beta for a brief period.
Was it?
Yes.
It ruined the game, so they had to take it out.
It was the player feedback on it wasn't great, just on how they implemented it. I can't remember the like the specifics of it, but basically it was, people thought it was too long of a season period.
So what's the season period?
Back then, I'm not sure. I think it was supposed to be like a month. Now that they're going to reintroduce it, they've said it's
really
going to be...
Really? That's too long?
It was too short. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have to grind up every month to try and stay where you were. Whereas now it's going to be 2.5 months.
See, that sounds good. I think Halo has a 3-month season.
Yeah. I think many games have a 3-month season.
Or maybe it's two. Every 2 months they reset the ladders.
What Overwatch is doing is it's 2.5 months with a week or two break in between. And then that'll rotate. So you can battle for your score in those 2 months, and then you can kind of take a break. Where all those really high-level people will flood back into the non-ranked mode and kind of start destroying. But it's only for a few weeks before they're gone again. And I think that pretty much wraps up our news. Do you guys have anything you want to add?
No, that sounds about right.
Not about Overwatch.
Alrighty. Then in that case, we will start with our first character close look. We'll be starting with Genji, as he's the first on the roster. I know some of us have experience with Genji, Brandon Chief among us. But I thought we'd start with the story, first of all. So I have some notes here.
Notes? Who does that?
I know, right? So Genji is, as many of you know, the brother of Hanzo, the archer in the game. And they both belong to the Shimada Ninja Clan from Japan. And the Shimada Clan is a power broker kind of group of assassins that have kind of used their power and grown it through illegal trade and things like that, and black market profiteering.
I like that.
I knew you'd appreciate it, yes. Genji didn't really care about being, you know, a criminal overlord. He was the son of the leader of the clan, and he kind of just lived a playboy lifestyle.
Oh, that's why I like him.
He's what Bruce Wayne appears to be.
Yeah, he was kind of Bruce Wayne, but not an act. That is until his father's death. At some point, his father was assassinated or killed in some way. We're not quite sure how. And Hanzo took over the clan. He tried to bring his brother in line, trying to help get him to help run the organization. And when Genji resisted, some of the clan elders convinced Hanzo to eliminate his brother. They had a large fight. You can still see traces of it in the Hanamura Shrine.
Can you?
I believe so. Yeah, there's a chink in the sword, or I might be thinking of the animated short.
In the animated short.
Yeah. In either case, Hanzo fights his brother, and he believes that he kills Genji, but Genji manages to survive and is recovered by Overwatch, kind of patched up by Mercy.
And she gives him a nice butt.
She gives him a real nice butt. She knows what she wants. And, yeah, Genji has a... Anyways, so in exchange for them kind of rebuilding his body, because he was very, very highly damaged, most of his body is cybernetic at this point, thanks to Overwatch, they convinced him to help them take apart the Shimada clan. And he of course, accepted because he felt no love for them.
So really, the Shibata got their way, just in the opposite way. He is now an assassin guy doing things.
Correct. They made him into a very powerful.
Them.
It's a very bad karma. They got what's coming to them. So with Genji's help, Overwatch dismantles the Shimada clan. But afterwards, Genji leaves Overwatch because he can't really come to terms with the fact that he's a cyborg now. It's not something that he's pleased with or can come to grips with. And he kind of wanders the world for a couple years until he meets Zenyatta, the robot monk, who kind of teaches him and mentors him and helps him reconcile with the fact that his body is a gift, not a curse, and that he has powers that others don't have and that he should make use of them for the good of others. And that's kind of where his story more or less leaves off. We know from the animated short Dragons that he confronts his brother, Hanzo, at some point and tries to convince him to set aside their differences and join together to fight some sort of rising tide. At this point, we think it might be the second Omnic Crisis that's alluded to in some of the work from the game, but we're not sure exactly what he's talking about. And that's pretty much the Hanzo's backstory. It's one of the more developed in the game, and it's pretty obvious that someone on the team really likes Genji.
I wouldn't say that's obvious. I just think they had an idea and they were like, oh, this is awesome. It's going to be a cyborg ninja. And then they like just had to figure out how to make a cyborg ninja work.
I think they pulled it off pretty well, too.
I'm not saying they didn't. I'm just saying it's not obvious that they were like hard on Genji fans like how Blizzard loves
Yeah, Brawl. I Green Jesus?
Exactly.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't think they started off with like, oh yeah, let's make this cool ninja. Like, I want to make this character. I think they kind of slowly fell in love with him, but just the amount of backstory there is and kind of his cycle of redemption, it points to the fact that someone at this point really likes Genji.
They're making him Ninja Jesus.
Oh God, no. Why not? So what do you guys think of? Is there anything you want to add to his story? I think it's pretty cool. I mean, it's nothing crazy, but from the Dragons short, that one is one of my favorites. That short, and getting to see the two brothers interact and learning more of their backstory was really, really fun.
I'd like to see more of Genji's day to day.
Like what he eats for breakfast.
Oiling up all of his body parts and
Yeah. Just kind of see who he truly is, because there's kind of like a tonal shift where he's this badass assassin now, but he used to be a playboy, and it's like, well, you're not who you were, Genji. Sorry.
You've changed, Genji. You've changed.
I meant,
he grew
I did
up.
For emphasis.
He grew up.
He was a skater boy.
He said, "See you later, boy," when he got almost killed.
and then Mercy found him.
Yeah. So that's pretty much his backstory. So we can move on
Do we ship Mercy and Genji together?
No. Mercy is obviously with Torbjorn, as are all the ladies.
What if Torbjorn is actually just like her gay bestie?
Yeah, I could see him being gay.
We don't know these things. We can't.
We don't. We can't actually disprove or prove any of these accusations.
The only thing we can prove about Torbjorn is that he's actually a dwarf.
Is that why he's so short?
He's not a dwarf.
Actually human.
He's not a dwarf, but by God, if Blizzard makes a game, there will be a dwarf-like character in it. And I kind of appreciate that. But getting back to Genji.
A Swedish dwarf.
His kit is pretty interesting. I can't come to grips with it, but I know Brandon has. So a quick rundown of it is his basic attack throws 3 shuriken, and his left click either throws them in a straight line in a 3-round burst. or you can right-click and throw them in a kind of a horizontal spread. And the one thing about these shuriken is that they don't have any drop-off. They fly straight, unlike some of the other projectiles in the game, which means he's a really good sniper, which is something that people don't always realize when starting to play him, and it's something that I struggle with, is that you probably want to be whittling down at the enemy team with your shuriken.
That's not how I play him at all.
Get good, Jacob.
I know what you're talking about. And yes, for someone like starting out, that definitely makes sense.
Yeah, you want to try and whittle them down with his burst fire before you kind of go into the kill in closer range. And you get into that quick close range combat with his other ability, Swift Strike. It's basically just a dash attack. It will go through enemies, which I didn't realize. But it also reset. It also resets if he gets a kill. Which is another, if you can time it right, you can blink and delete someone and blink out with it. And he also has the ability to double jump. So Swift Strike in combination with his double jump and his wall climb ability makes Genji incredibly... He's the most mobile character, I think, beyond
Tracer and
Pharah.
Tracer's got to be the most mobile character.
Tracer and Pharah would be the most mobile, and I think Genji is right up behind them.
Does he actually have a wall climb, or is it just a ledge grab?
He has a wall climb as well.
Yeah. It does have a cap. You can't just, like, keep climbing up the wall.
Because I've never been able to wall climb him. I've always had to jump up, and then I grab the ledge.
No, he can climb up it.
I
just
think
like
you just hold space down.
Just like Hanzo.
Climb right up, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it could just be bad. Even though, like, I play Hanzo and parkour with him, it's just for some reason with Genji, it just didn't work.
I have trouble with Lucio's wall glide, so who knows?
You're never gonna get to the front page of Reddit with those skills.
I want to skate around the sink in in the Greek map. That's just what I want to do, and I can't do it.
I saw the GIF of that. That was amazing.
Oh my god, it was awesome.
Genji cannot
glide around on the walls, but he can climb up them in a linear fashion. Good Genjis use those abilities, the double jump, the swift strike, and the wall climb to kind of get into places where they can annoy the enemy, and also once they've engaged, to back out and re-engage at a time of their choosing, which is super annoying, but... It's how you play the character, and it can be quite effective. His other ability is the deflect, which is very, very cool. It looks really cool, and it's not as quite as fun when you're playing against it. But it will deflect most projectiles in the game. Bullets, arrows, certain alts it'll even deflect.
Like a certain dragon alt.
like a certain dragon alt. If you time it right...
Can you actually deflect the dragon?
If Hanzo just shoots his arrow at the beginning of his ult, it's just an arrow. While it's still an arrow, if Genji is up close, he can deflect it and it'll turn into his dragon.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Certain other ultimates can be reflected as well. Can anyone confirm whether you can reflect Pharah's missiles? Because I heard that you can, and I don't believe it.
I've never tried. I don't think I've ever played a map where I'm Genji and there's a Pharah.
Please somebody do some science.
I know he can deflect Soldier 76 missiles.
Yes.
So I don't imagine Pharah's would be any different. He can also deflect Tracer's ultimate.
Yes, that's true.
That's fun.
Yeah, there's some weird interactions with his deflect that can catch you by surprise if you haven't seen it before. Deflect is pretty decent against Bastions, Soldiers, McCrees, Reapers.
Anyone that shoots, really.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much, but, which is everybody.
Those characters have such a high amount of damage in their attacks that when you deflect it back at them, because the deflect not only cancels out the attack, it also rebounds it. Not directly at the attacker. I can't quite figure out the angle on it, but it doesn't go straight back. It's kind of got a... like an angle, like almost a pong angle to it.
Deflect? No, it's directly at you.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. It's a direct deflect.
Oh, I did. Huh.
I learned the hard way, actually. I was a Bastion, and I got wrecked by a Genji on one map.
Yeah, he can be quite a counter to Bastions.
I've never actually had much of a problem with enemy Genjis, though. Because I feel like not a lot of people know how to play them properly.
And that's the thing. Genji, I feel like, is one of the characters with a very high skill floor and a very low skill ceiling, at least in my opinion. And what I mean by that, by skill floor, is basically a character with a low skill floor, someone like Soldier 76, is very easy to get into. There isn't a lot of tricks that you need to know to play him even mildly effectively. Whereas a high skill floor is someone where, like Genji, where to play him to play him even remotely well, you need to learn a couple things first, like his deflect, like his mobility and his double jumps and all those kind of tricks. But once you learn them, you kind of come up against the skill ceiling, which is at some point you can't get much better with him. Whereas other characters have more nuance in their kits and how it interacts with the battlefield, like Zariah, like we were talking about, where she's very powerful in that she has an ability for herself and one that she can put on her teammates that completely negates any damage that they get for a second or two. And while that is super, super powerful, because it's such a short amount of time, knowing when to use it and using it effectively, and also the fact that it powers up your attacks as well, it's a very hard, like, kind of balancing act for it that can lead to a lot of, you can kind of learn about it more and more and get better and better at it, at how to use her. Whereas with Genji, it's once you kind of realize, hey, abuse my mobility, snipe at them, and then getting close for the kill. Once you've kind of mastered that, I don't know how much farther there is to go. I'm sure you guys have differing opinions.
Yeah, I completely disagree with you. Like, I think Genji is one of those characters that, yeah, you're right, he does have kind of a
learning
low
curve.
Floor. Like, yeah, the learning curve is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Unless if you're kind of used to high mobility characters like that. But I think Genji can wipe a team if you know how to use him properly.
Yeah, I also agree. He has a high skill cap.
He has a very high skill ceiling. Cap.
Like that. And I'd argue that his deflect is the same as Zyra's shield in terms of usage.
I also agree with that.
So if you say Zyra has a high skill ceiling because of her shield, then Genji also has to have it because of his deflect.
You're right, except for the fact that Zarya can put it on her teammates as well, which
that's two different abilities.
Yeah,
it's still the fact that it's making another character who might have damage mitigation issues like Roadhog, giving him damage mitigation is incredibly powerful.
So you're saying her ability to give shield to someone else is what makes her interesting, but her shield that she gives herself makes it so she. Like, once you understand that, then you're golden with her.
It just adds to her flavor. It's more... Well, not adds to her flavor. It just adds to her complexity.
I disagree with your reasoning behind champions.
I don't know. Like, Genji... Like, he could be powerful on any map, like, with the right person.
Oh, yeah, no. Like, Genji's a good character, don't get me wrong. But I just... I think I've seen some more ridiculous plays with other characters, as opposed to Genji.
I think what me and Brandon are trying to argue is you said he has a low skill ceiling, and we're saying, no, he doesn't. He has probably the highest skill ceiling with Zarya in the game.
I disagree. I think that once you get used to his mobility... Whether using him or countering him, that's it. He can still be annoying and he can still get some plays in, but I think the other characters can kind of do more once you've learned them to a certain degree. That's fine. That's perfectly fine. But
No. Because you're wrong. That's the thing.
And I can't have that.
Exactly.
We kind of skipped over it. Genji's ultimate, Dragon Blade. He can finally engage in a melee range. He has a melee attack, but this is where he gets those multi-kills that Brandon was talking about.
Oh, no. Well, yes, but, I mean, I use his melee attack constantly.
Yeah, same. It doesn't always work out for me, but Brandon...
Well, I'm mashing that thing.
Yeah, his Dragon Blade alt is what really gets those team kills. You can mow down people. I think most attacks will eliminate opponents in one shot, except for tanks and such. So what do you think of his design? Not specifically his outward appearance, but also just how his abilities kind of interact with each other and how he can kind of abuse them.
I think his abilities, like the mobility he adds and the any character that with super high mobility has a high skill cap.
Oh yeah.
Like, that's just part of the territory of having high mobility. And with his swift strike, with his double jump, with his ability to get all over the place, you need to know where to be at the right time and to be able to read the enemy team to actually do what you need to do as Genji.
Yeah, if you get caught in the wrong position with Genji, you're dead.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very, very
quickly. He has 200 health, right?
He's a glass cannon, like
he
most
is
other
a glass
characters.
Cannon.
Does he have 200 health?
I think he does. Yes, but his health goes down very quick.
He only has his mobility and his deflect to save him, and like you can't always rely on deflect, especially if you have an entire enemy team there.
Oh yeah, he can be caught out for sure. And yeah, abusing his mobility is what makes him so powerful. So Brandon, what are some of your strategies for when you're playing Genji? Like how do you use him?
Well, I try to sneak around a little bit as he is a ninja, but if I can get behind the enemy and start pestering them, that's what I start doing, and then I try to get in there and just start swiping around, meleeing. Like, I'll pester them for a little bit, and then I'll get real close and real quick. Like, I'll start swiping around and meleeing, tossing shurikens around, and, like, once you get rid of that healer, it's game over.
Because
you're moving so fast that nobody has no idea where you are. It's like Tracer. Like, when Tracer starts using a reverse flash thing, I don't know what
recall?
It's called. The recall, yeah.
Reverse Flash, whatever.
Reverse Flash, yeah. You know,
Flash,
the,
you know.
The Pokemon move, what?
I was thinking of...
Tracer!
But yeah, no, that's one way to... I like using them.
Yeah, I agree. Genji and Tracer kind of fill the same space of this kind of harassing character.
I feel
like Tracer's much more of a pain in the ass than Genji.
I feel Tracer's more of a harasser and Genji's more of an assassin.
Yes. Genji's the finisher.
The finisher.
He's the closer. Closes those deals. We need a lawyer skin for him now. He hits people with briefcases.
What's his alt? He pulls a
stack
of an pillar. Affidavit.
I just starts hitting people with a rolled up piece of paper, yeah.
And he has a business suit, it'd be great.
Oh, and he throws paper airplanes instead of shurikens. Yep. I can see it now. So what about counters to Genji's? Because Genji is facing a Genji, especially when you're first starting out in the game, can be annoying. He just seems to come out of nowhere and just deals a bunch of damage and then you're dead. Especially if you're the healer, like Brandon was saying.
So I haven't played against a lot of Genjis, so I'm not really sure.
I find that, as with many
things... And, like,
things,
when I do play against a Genji, they're not very,
very
good, so it's
yes.
It's an easy kill.
The Genjis I've faced who were causing me problems, I usually just switch to McCree. Because stuns are good against almost everybody. McCree's got one of the best ones in the game. So
yeah,
you just...
especially close range.
If he tries to engage you, he's made a mistake. You throw out your stun and you kill him.
Yeah.
if you miss your stun, then it's a bit of a more of an even engagement. He'll probably have to try and run away, unless you're at low health, in which case he can kind of tango with you. Other than that, he can't deal with tanks very well. But he, again, it's more of a case of, with Genji, don't engage the people who go for squishy characters. If a Genji has engaged you and you're a tank, he's made a mistake. You'll probably cause him to run off, if not outright kill him.
When I'm playing and I get caught against a tank, I try to get as much distance away and just keep pestering them, because especially yeah. Reinhardt. Reinhardt's fun to play Genji against, because like as a Genji. Because he's so slow, you can just sit there and like shoot shurikens at him and then swipe past him, and as he's trying to turn around,
get some more hits and
keep hitting him. Yeah.
Yeah,
you swipe past, get the melees in, swipe out.
The general consensus on how to beat Genji is actually two characters. One is apparently a fairly hard counter to him.
Which is?
Can you guess the two characters?
I'm going to say Tracer.
No.
I want to say Mercy and... they're in combination?
No, just be one of them and you'll nail them.
So Bastion?
Yeah, just keep shooting. Yeah, never stop shooting.
Never stop and hope that's he doesn't use deflect.
Deflect ends at some point. Your shooting doesn't.
Bastion is the hard counter to every single character.
One is Mei. Crowd Control's OP.
Yes.
The
other one I'm gonna guess is Pharah?
No, Winston.
Winston
just gets it in his face and is like, deflect this, you can't deflect this, la 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 la, I'm a monkey.
That's
I'm a monkey. Good description of Winston. I like it.
That's how I play Winston.
I know.
having supported you as a Mercy, your Winston's kind of scary.
I feel so bad for Mercies that try to support me.
You may have left me in the dust once or twice, but other
you have
than
a
that,
jump. Come on, keep up.
It was a Reaper that unfortunately got me, but.
Don't worry, I was probably running away from him too.
Yeah, Reaper shreds tanks, but we'll get into that in some later date. But those are probably your best counters to Genji, Mei and Winston, because he can't deflect the shots. He has to get in close to finish off his opponents, and those two characters will destroy close range targets.
Well, as a Genji, I will be sure to look out for that. Now that I know,
you'll try to prove him wrong.
I will, actually, but we'll see how well that goes, maybe later tonight.
That reminds me when I played League of Legends, and like I was going in a lane, and I knew who my opponent was. I'm like, I'm being this guy. Lock in, check the counters. He's a hard counter to me. I'm like, well, I'll just outplay him.
It didn't work, did it?
No, I fucking outplayed him. I'm great.
knowing Taylor, he kicked his ass. It's kind of unfair sometimes. That pretty much wraps us up on Genji. He's a cool character, not one that I just have a problem. Like, I have many problems, but I want to get in there and just pull out my sword and start slicing people up. And that's not exactly how you play him. Like, you have to...
It's not at all how you play him.
Yeah, you have to get in there, snipe, harass, like I was saying. And
that sword takes a while to get.
I want to get the sword, man! It's just all I want.
You always have a sword.
It's not like this.
It's true. Your melee is a sword. Yeah.
Well, it's like this weird dagger thing, and it doesn't kill people as much as I want. But
it does.
You're not using it enough, then.
Yeah, you're not. You need to take more notes from me.
Spectate Brandon.
Heal him with a Mercy. Actually, that's a strategy I saw a lot in the early days, especially in the beta. Genji being healed by a Mercy was quite popular. But I think that wraps us up on Genji. So the last thing we were hoping to kind of touch on was the play of the week, our last segment, which is basically just us discussing some awesome games we had. Feel free to send us an email or comment in any other way that you about your own games. We'd love to read them on the show. But as for our own. Do you guys have one, or should I start off?
You can go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I just last night had an amazing game as Reinhardt. Now, for those of you that don't know, if you want to win, especially when you're just starting out, play Reinhardt. Early team or new players don't value tanks enough, and Reinhardt is probably the best, like, just basic tank you can play. Get in there, support people with your shield, and you can still get plenty of kills if you kind of play aggressively. But what was happening was we were pushing a payload on King's Row, and it was going down to like the last minute or so, and we just couldn't get past. Like they had set up a bastion earlier. There was a Junkrat just artillerying us to bits. A Winston who was very good at
being a monk,
and just making sure no one got too close to his team, to his squishies, and as well as a Mei just putting up wall after wall at just the right time. And eventually I managed to... I got three alts in one life, just standing on the point, on the payload, and just shielding for my team, and crushing through the Winston's barriers, because for those of you that don't know, Reinhardt's fire strike goes through barriers. So he didn't know what was happening. He just kept taking damage from me. I'd get into his face, swing a couple times, all to take down the entire team. But just every time at the end, someone would respawn quick enough and take me out from behind. It was usually the Mei. Until eventually, Marcin was playing with me as well. And she switched to Bastion, on offensive Bastion. And she set up behind my shield, and we just did like a creeping Bastion assault. Until eventually she just...
Those are awful.
Yeah, and so she was just hiding behind me, and she mowed down the entire team, and we got in and got the kill, but it felt real good. And guess who got play of the game? It was not me. It was the Bastion.
Of course it was.
But I had a lot of fun with that. What about you guys?
Well, I had a wicked Genji one.
I was there for that.
I cannot remember the name of that map, because I've played it like three times, and every time I've played Genji.
It was Lijiang Tower, I believe.
That's the one.
Yeah, you kind of, if I remember correctly, it was your alt that did it?
Yeah, it was my alt that got the play of the game. But leading up to that, it was not my alt. No, I mean, I had they had the point, I'm pretty sure. And I had gotten around them, and I was starting to take out... I think I took out Lucio, which was their healer. And then after that, I had gotten my ult and jumped into the middle, took out a Winston, McCree, and then whoever the other two were, just swiping away. So, I mean, it was pretty fun.
Nice.
Got a quad kill out of it.
That was the play of the game. That was impressive. It was two tanks, I think? You managed to take out two tanks and their healer and someone else.
Yeah, it was like a Winston, and I'm not sure if it was two tanks.
I think
tanks.
It was a Roadhog, wasn't it?
Maybe it was a Roadhog. Oh, yeah, it was Roadhog.
Yeah. Which was impressive, because we were just saying that tanks are pretty good against Genjis, but yeah, that was an awesome play.
Well, you were saying tanks are good.
Wow. That map is really, really easy to get around with Genji.
I'd want to try him on
If you
want
to try Genji, do it on Lijiang Tower. At like, yeah. The one where you're capping the point in the middle.
Capture the flag.
Not quite.
Capture the flag!
Taylor, did you have a game that you want to share with us?
I think it's a very simple play of the game, but I was just like, nailed it. And it was... I think Brandon might have been in it, because it involved a Zarya.
Mm-hmm.
And I was Symmetra. And essentially, the Zarya ulted and clumped up the enemies all where my turrets were, so that was just great.
That's gross.
It was great. Not gross.
Did you have all six of them, or just a few?
No, I usually fan out my turrets, just because it's like, ha, you're slowed. Deal with it. And then I was just shooting like the orbs into them as well. Those orbs do a lot of damage.
Yeah, they do. They go through barriers. Symmetra is a very, very interesting player. I can't wait till we cover her, but that'll be in the future. That's awesome, man. That's Zarya's alt is just, it feels so bad if you see them all
clubbed
up.
Oh, that was my ult. Yeah. I remember that. Oh, that's great.
It feels so bad.
I got all those skills, but then I saw your play of the game and I'm like, damn, Symmetra got it. But no, that was amazing.
When you use that ult with no one around, just because like, oh, they're all clumped up, like I'm sure someone's behind me who can kill them and there's no one there. It's just like,
I mean, typically when I do that as the ult, like when I'm using the ult, I can get at least two of them. Typically. Like if I've gotten some damage stacked up from my shield and I use the ult and toss a bunch of balls in there, like they're dead.
Balls on balls, man.
Balls on balls.
Nuts. Alrighty. I think that pretty much wraps us up. So, thanks for listening.
Don't watch us.
If you like what you heard today, please consider subscribing or giving us a rating on iTunes. We also have another show called Press A to Podcast, where we review different video games every other week. So you can also find that on iTunes, and you can also find that on YouTube. You can follow us on Twitter and YouTube at Press A to Podcast for updates for both this show and Press A to Podcast. And you can also reach us by email at pressapodcast@gmail.com for any comments, questions, concerns, or your own play of the games. We would love to hear from you.
Or see them.
Or see them. You can link a GIF or whatever. We'd love to watch those. But
speaking of seeing plays of the game, I think we should totally start recording some of our plays of the games.
Why not?
And and just tossing them up.
No, that wouldn't be bad. I know Reddit, the Overwatch Reddit, is hungry for GIFs of awesome plays.
That's essentially all the Reddit is.
There is
basically. I'm
GIFs
hoping. I'm hoping that kind of dilutes into more comprehensive.
I think they would have to create a subreddit.
I would hope there's a subreddit for Overwatch GIFs at some point, but that is neither here nor there. But thanks for listening, guys. What's our outro for this? I was thinking of just doing the alt scream for the different characters.
Don't do it.
Do it, you say? Alrighty, Ryuji no Kyoken. Bye, guys. No, no comments? Alrighty.
Just end the podcast.
This podcast ended right there. I'm not saying like just this episode. I meant the entire
podcast.